Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for that. What a blessing. I think of that verse in Matthew chapter 6. It says, behold, the fowls of the air, sparrows, right? For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Yeah, he takes care of sparrows. He certainly takes care of us. And may we acknowledge that on a regular basis. He's so good to us. All right, I want you to take your Bibles. We're going to be in the book of Acts. The book of Acts. And I love the missionary journeys with the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Now, Acts chapter 16 was the beginning of the second missionary journey. And, you know, it just seemed like the disciples, the Apostle Paul and Silas and Timothy and those others that were with them, they just seemed to continually, face problems and trials. You know, they were seeing people get saved. And whenever that happens, the devil gets angry, and the devil, you get the devil's attention when you're doing God's work, right? Amen. You know that. That is the case. He doesn't want to see anybody, doing anything for Christ. One of the gentlemen yesterday in prayer, not yesterday, but Friday morning in prayer, mentioned that, listen, if you're not doing anything for the Lord, even if you're a child of God, the devil doesn't even have to bother with you. He doesn't have to bother with you. He doesn't have to bother with me if I'm just walking in the flesh or walking after the flesh. He doesn't even mess with you. But now, when you do live for the Lord Jesus Christ, then the devil will seek to trip you up because he doesn't want to see anything go forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what happened in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16, in the beginning of that second missionary journey, they go to Philippi, and God blesses them. They see people getting saved, and then, of course, they get thrown into prison, and then they're in that jail. The jailer gets saved, and then as a result of that, a church gets started. And so they weren't treated too well there, and they're just like, okay, we'll let you free, and you can take off. And, you know, Paul had something to say about that, but that's not in today's message. And so they continue on into chapter 17, and they go to Thessalonica, and God blesses them, and they go as he was wont to do. He goes into a synagogue, and he wants to reach the Jews for the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, they see some people get saved, and God blesses, but then the devil just uses some people to create some problems. The devil uses whoever he can to try to disrupt a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see what took place in Philippi, and then what took place in Thessalonica. Some great works were established there, but the devil is going to try to get in his licks when he can, and he creates opposition to the gospel. And what happened there at Thessalonica, it caused Paul and Silas to be run out of town, all right? The disciples were, Paul, you need to get out. We want to protect you. You go and continue to preach the gospel. And, Paul never really wanted to run for sake of saving his life. He didn't really care about that. But if he did go, it was at the insistence of the other disciples, and he realized, well, the work must go on. And the reason to flee was not necessarily to save your life, but it's to take the gospel other places. And so that's what the Apostle Paul did. They head to Berea, where, again, it was Paul's pattern. It was Paul's, I don't want to just use that word obligation. It was the love of his life. His heart's desire was to see the Jews get saved, because he's a Jew. And he wanted to see his people get saved. When you got saved, weren't there some people that were close to you that you wanted to see saved? Yeah. Yeah, you remember the maniac of Gadara, when after his life got transformed and he gets saved, he trusts Christ. And he wants to go with the Lord. He wants to get in that little ship or that boat with the Lord and go with him. And the Lord says, nope, I'm paraphrasing, but that's not my plan for you. My plan is that you just go home and go and tell your family and your friends about what I've done for you. And because that's where our heart was when we got saved, we wanted to tell those that we knew best, those who hadn't come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our heart was. Well, that's where Paul's heart is. He's wanting to see the Jews come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was a few chapters back in chapter 13, in the beginning of that first missionary journey, where it becomes real clear to Paul. The Lord makes it clear unto him that, listen, the Jews are rejecting my word, and you're going to be going to the Gentiles. But yet, everywhere he went, he still sought to reach the Jews. And the Lord wasn't against that, but he knew the gospel was going to be going to the Gentiles. And praise the Lord, it's come to us. Amen. That's what happened. That's what's happened here in these last 2,000 years. So he goes through this routine, though, of wanting to go to the Jews. And so the first 9 verses speaks about Thessalonica and how they had to run because it was a riot that takes place, and there's some Jews that don't want to hear the gospel. They don't want to have any part of it, and they don't want to have they don't want somebody who's delivering the message of the gospel to continue to do so. So they wanted to try to snuff out Paul and Silas, and so they're run out of that town. And then it says here in verse 10 of Acts 17, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. All right? Again, that was the pattern that he had. I want to go to the synagogue. If there's a synagogue, and I want to talk to my fellow countrymen, I want to talk to fellow Jews about Christ, because he knew that for the most part, they had rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, and they didn't want to hear. So they go to the synagogue. So with that, let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to take a look at what I title today, The Berean's Approach to God's Word. The Berean's Approach to God's Word. Father, we thank you today, and we're grateful for the opportunity to come before your throne of grace. What a wonderful thing that is, that we can come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that precious blood that was shed on our behalf. For those of us who know the Lord Jesus as our dear Savior, Lord, we thank you that we can come in his name. And Lord, we look unto you. We pray and ask that you would bless today. I know you already have. It's been a blessing to sing unto you and to have the fellowship that we've had, to have time of prayer. And now, Lord, we have this opportunity to open your book again. We did that in Sunday school, and now, Lord, we look to opening it up here in the book of Acts. And I thank you for this wonderful Bible that you've given to us. Thank you that how it sheds light, how it leads and guides us, how it's the eternal word. We thank you that you've preserved it from generation to generation. Lord, help us to love this book. Help us not to, you know, just to become real blasé or take it for granted or go through the mechanics of reading it. Lord, would you help me? Because there's times when that happens in my heart. But Lord, help us to realize that this is the living word of God. And Lord, as we see with the Bereans, they responded in a very favorable way. And help us to learn some things from what we see here in this passage. So we thank you and we praise you. We ask that Christ would be glorified. I pray for the Spirit of God to do his work in our hearts. And I would pray, dear Father, if there's somebody here without Christ, we pray, Father, for their salvation. We want to see them get saved and trust Jesus as their personal Savior. And so we ask, Lord, that you would just do a great work in our midst here today. So we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So now, again, they're in Berea, and he goes right into the synagogue of the Jews. And so we're going to see something very noteworthy here in verse 11. And it says here that these, all right, those that were there in the synagogue, okay, those are Jews, right? He says these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. It says that they were even more noble than those in Thessalonica in how they received the word of God. And again, we're talking about Jews here, all right? Now, through this whole time that their whole stay in Thessalonica, there are Gentiles that get saved, a good amount. We'll read there in just a minute. that a number of Gentiles certainly get saved. And how many Jews got saved? Well, I don't know how many Jews got saved, but there's something about, as it speaks about this visit in the synagogue, of how these Jews, how they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Now, in Thessalonica, the Jews there, it was a little bit of a different story because they're going to be run out of Berea as well. And they're going to be run out of there in just a short matter of time. And the ones who are behind that are Jews that were from Thessalonica that resisted the gospel. They rejected the gospel. And they're finding out that Paul's taking that message. They're just puppets of Satan to find where Paul's at to try to create more havoc and wreak more havoc in his life. So they're going to be coming and creating a stir again. But the Jews were listening. They listened, and we saw a description of what took place there in that verse 11. So what I want us to do is I want us to take a look at how the city of Berea, these folks that listened, how they approached the hearing of God's word. How they approached the hearing of God's word. And again, there's so much here for us to be able to apply into our own lives, especially those of us that know Christ as our Savior. As I prayed just a little bit ago, if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to see you get saved. We want to see you trust Him as your personal Savior. But what we see here is a very admirable approach to the Word of God. And the first thing that we see in verse 11 is they had a receptive heart. It says, again, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the Word. They received the Word. So they had a receptive heart to receive the Word of God. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 in verse 13, again, that is the epistle that was written to the church at Thessalonica where they had just been. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I love this verse. In 1 Thessalonians, Colossians, let me get over to the next book. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, when he writes to the church at Thessalonica, he says this, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." He said to this church at Thessalonica that you receive the word of God, not as it was just the word of man, because men were preaching it and speaking it unto you, but you understood something, and you understood it was the word of God. You received it as the word of God, as it was being delivered unto you. That's what he says in that epistle. They simply received it. Listen, it's good to have a spirit about us as believers that when we know it's of God, that we would have the right spirit or attitude. Right? You agree with that, don't you? Certainly. We want to have a instructable or a coachable or a teachable spirit. And the Bible is full of that. Let me just give you a few verses here in Proverbs. If you'll turn to Proverbs, I'll just read a couple of passages, just one verse, three different verses that are in different places. But in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1, it says this, in Proverbs 12, and verse 1 says, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish." So someone that loveth instruction, he loves knowledge. Now we're talking about the knowledge of God. We're talking about the knowledge of the things of God. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 1 comes along those same lines. It says, "A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke." A wise son heareth his father's instruction. Listen, when the Lord speaks to us, do we listen? Do we have listening ears? And then one other verse in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 15. It says this in Proverbs 18 and verse 15. I wanted to turn to these passages because I wanted you to just see them rather than me just quoting them. But it says, "The heart of the prudent," okay, a prudent is a wise person. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Well, listen, when we get to that kind of a frame of mind where we want instruction and we want to listen and we want to be receptive of the Word of God, the Bible says we're putting ourselves in the category of being prudent, of being wise. It's a wise thing to listen to God's Word. Amen? It certainly is. And so we see some great example here by these of Berea. Now, as we'll see in a few moments, they didn't just receive it blindly. They didn't just receive it blindly, but they saw through the teaching and the preaching of the Apostle Paul how Jesus Christ was truly the one who was sent by God. They saw that. They saw that in the preaching, that he was the one who would suffer for our sins in order that we would be saved. That passage makes that very clear. You know that Paul clearly showed them out of the Old Testament these prophecies that had come true with the Lord Jesus Christ. We just looked at Psalm 22 in Sunday school. Very, very clear teaching about David's sufferings were Christ's sufferings on the cross, that he suffered for us. You read Isaiah 53, what a clear indication, what a clear prophecy of the Savior's suffering that would take place some 750 years later after Isaiah penned those. And no doubt there were some Jews, again, there were a number of Jews that got saved, just like that happened in Thessalonica, but again, a good portion of people that got saved were lost Gentiles. You see in Acts chapter 17, as we're back there again, in verse 12 it says, "Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men, not a few." So not a few means there were many, all right? There were many that got saved. Now, the bottom line that brought these souls to Christ was the fact that their hearts were receptive. Just as your heart and just as my heart was receptive when God was working on our hearts, when we were brought under conviction of our sin and that we realized, I'm lost. Do you remember that time? Can you go back to that time in your mind when God had you and brought you under conviction of sin? First, there was a bit of an awakening to what God was doing in your hearts. And I don't even know that I can remember all of those thoughts, but I just remember thinking, I'm lost and I need God. I didn't even know how to get saved at that point. And I had heard the gospel. I don't know how clearly or if my mind was just in a fog. Probably my mind was just in a fog and it just was not sinking in. Because I had been going to church for a while. But even in all of that, I don't remember many of those messages, but God was gracious to me that he knew that I was just lost, and he awakened me, and there was something put on my heart about, I need God. I need God. And God stirred my heart to go to that church and to find somebody. And you know my testimony, how I found somebody, and he led me to Christ. He showed me from God's Word how I could be saved. And I know I never want to lose, a sight of that in my memory. I remember going into his office and I remember him showing me from God's Word how to be saved. And I remember trusting Christ as my Savior. What a great memory that was. And I remember that what God did in my heart was just receptive to the words of God. You remember being that way as well. Well, that's how we're to continue to be. We're to continue to have that kind of a heart, to be receptive to the things of God. But listen, most of us here are already saved, and that's good. But what we can learn from this passage is how important it is for our hearts to stay receptive to the Word of God. It's a crucial element to maintain in our Christian walk. We don't want it to let things become, just commonplace. What we have in Christ should never be commonplace. We ought to be stirred up about the things of the Word of God. It says in Colossians chapter 2, I love that passage where it says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Just as you received Christ Jesus the Lord. Well, when you received him, you and I, there were certain things that were common with every one of us. When we received Christ, well, we had become humbled. We came to the cross humbly, No proudful person or prideful person ever came to the cross and received Christ with a heart of pride. That never happened. We were humbled, and we recognized the fact that we were helpless. And there were many other things as well, but how we receive Christ Jesus is how we're to maintain our walk with the Lord. And one of those things was we were receptive to the things of God when we got saved. And may we continue to have a heart that's receptive. By the way, that's a good approach with a lost sinner, all right? And that is to appeal to their reason. Because so often you'll talk to somebody and they just get stirred up right away. Oh, I don't want to hear that. And they've let their emotions just kind of run the whole discourse or conversation so that you can't even get a word in edgewise because somebody's already they've gotten heated up and they don't want to listen to it. Well, I think sometimes that might be our problem, is we get a little stirred up about something and we're just not receptive to things. That's why the Bible talks about when God spoke to Israel about their sins, he said, come and let us reason together. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, the Lord says, come, just listen, give it some thought. When you and I talk to somebody, it's good to just say, listen, okay, I don't know what your past experiences are, but just think about this, that Christ loves you. He died on a cross for you. At least give that some thought. And that might be something that somebody might listen to, and it might actually reverberate in their mind and have some impact where, all right, I'll give it some thought. Because that's where God works on hearts, when we don't get all worked up about it and riled up, because that's what the Jews had done that just wanted to squelch everything that Paul was doing. They were just heated up in their emotions. No way is Jesus Christ the Messiah. No way is he the one that's to come of God. He is not the anointed one. They just got so stirred up, they just would not even listen to reason. But folks, we can be that way as well. And let's not allow that to get into the way of God working in our hearts. May we have a receptive heart. And then a second thing that is noteworthy of these Bereans, or these Jews, really, that speaks about these Jews that were in that synagogue, these Bereans, was there was a readiness of mind. Back to verse 11 when it says they received the word of God, but it says with all readiness of mind. Readiness. Readiness means the state of being fully prepared for something. Being fully prepared for something. Are you and I fully prepared for the things in this life? Well, it's good when we are, isn't it? It's always good to have a plan. You know, when I think about when I'm ready to go on, you know, next week we're going to Silverwood. I don't know if I'm going on any rides anymore. I don't think I have to prove anything to anybody anymore. I've done it all. I know some of the young guys will go, prove it, Pastor. Yeah, prove it. All right, Mike is already daring me. I can't believe this. So, you know, I know that when I get on those rides, and they're just about, and I'm talking about like those roller coasters or that, I don't know, there's got, you know, spin cycle and aftershock or whatever the name. You know, for some of you, it's probably been a long time ago, right? Okay. You get on those rides, and they're about ready to get going. Man, every muscle and is ready. Yeah, you know, it's like, okay, and everybody looks at you like, hey, I'm cool. I'm cool. But you know what? You're just ready. You're ready for what's about to take place. But listen, we're called to be ready. These folks here, they had a readiness of mind. That's how these folks are described as that listened to Paul as he brought forth God's word. They had a readiness of mind. And folks, that's a very, very good thing to have. They had a readiness of mind. It seems to me that I think sometimes we get our priorities out of sorts. And listen, I'm there too, and I'm not trying to throw all of you under the bus here. But sometimes we do. Sometimes we can be so, this readiness of mind, it might apply to things that maybe just are not as important. You know, because we can have this readiness of mind with some diet we're on and about the carbs we're consuming and about every label that you have to read so that, you know, we're ready. The readiness of mind is like an A-plus with some of these things. Or maybe it's something that's just, you know, doesn't amount to a whole hill of beans, you know, being ready with something that's pretty frivolous. But what about the Word of God? Does it go there? Do we have a readiness of mind in our Christian life, in how we listen to the things of God? Is there a readiness of mind where we're willing to listen to the things that God brings our way? Many times when it comes to spiritual things, many times we fail because we haven't set that as a high priority. Yet God says over and over, God warns us to be a ready people. God tells us to be ready. To do otherwise is to become spiritually a spiritual sloth or spiritually slothful and lazy. We don't want that. We don't want to be guilty of that. He warned Israel through Amos the prophet. He said in Amos chapter 4 and verse 12, prepare. He says, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Be ready. One day you will stand before God. So the Israelites were exhorted and admonished to be ready one day. He warned, he says again in Psalm 95 in verses 7 and 8, he says, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. You know, when the Lord was provoked, when those 10 spies had a horrible report and only there were two good spies, Joshua and Caleb. That's why they spent 40 years in the wilderness. That's what this is speaking of. He says, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as the day of temptation in the wilderness. Don't allow your heart to be hardened. Have a readiness of mind. Have a readiness of heart. The Lord commands us to keep a spiritual focus of awareness to the things of God. And we have to do that on a regular basis. And to achieve that, folks, it demands some discipline. That's where we just need to look to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Help me to be disciplined to have my mind go along those lines. Because I get caught up in this and that, which doesn't even, you know, add up to anything. But help me to be focused and have this readiness of mind on the things of God. Amen. It's a good thing for us to do. Let us work at staying ready in the things of God. Let's just take a look here in 1 Peter chapter 3. In 1 Peter chapter 3, we'll take a look at another passage rather than me just reading it to you. Peter is speaking to these disciples here that are going through an awful lot of persecution. Something that we Americans really, we have a hard time getting our hands on. But they were going through some great persecution. And it says here in verse 13, I'll read four verses, verses 13 through 16. And as he writes to them, he says this, verse 13. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always. He says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Again, he is speaking to a lot of persecuted believers. And the thing that he says right in the heart of that passage is be ready to have an answer to every man. Be ready in your Christian walk so that those that maybe even throw a false accusation against you would be ashamed because they would say, no, that person, there's something different about that person. There's something different about that person that speaks to honesty, it speaks to godliness, it speaks to Christ-likeness, and they can't refute that. Even as much as they want to lie about you, they can't refute that. And the basis of all of that, folks, is to be ready-minded. Yeah. It's to be ready-minded, because if we're not ready-minded, we just get sloppy. And we get real loose in our Christian life. But if we're ready-minded, that means we walk close to the Lord and we say, Lord, help me. Help me to always be ready wherever I go. Help me to always be ready with a smile on my face. There's going to be people that know me, and they're going to read my body language, and I want it to speak of Christ. I want the things that I do on the job site, when people are watching me that I don't even know are watching me, and they say, that person's honest. That person doesn't cut corners. That's the person that I would trust if I have to, if I have to give some information out. I believe I can trust that person. Wouldn't that be good if somebody thought that of you and I? Well, certainly, we want to be trustworthy. We want to be somebody that shows forth Christ. But that takes a readiness of mind. That takes a good amount of work for us to get to that place and be determined to do that. Well, that's what these folks were. They had this readiness of mind. And then this last thing, again, which is there in verse 11, they're all stacked right up on top of each other. In verse 11, as it says, that they had received the word, and then they did it with all readiness of mind, and then they searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. They had a researchful spirit. I guess that's the best way to put it. A researchful spirit. They searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. To be researchful, I'll give you another little definition, just a short, real quick one. But researchful of a person is dedicated or devoted to research, tending to do a lot of research. Well, that's not hard to figure out. It's somebody that searched the scriptures, somebody that is making sure that these things are so. It's a good thing to do. I really wouldn't want you to just walk out and say, well, you know, Pastor Garcia said this, when somebody else asked you, okay, well, do you know that that's so? Well, I think so. It was right there in that one passage. Well, have you researched that out at all? No, I really haven't. It's a good thing if we have. I would want you to vet me. I would want you to be able to search the scriptures and say, well, this is what Pastor Garcia preached, and I'm not about to say that I have not gotten some things wrong. I don't understand all of God's truth, okay? That there's some things in there that I just go, oh, that's way over my head. Help me, Lord. And I'm careful about how I bring those out, but there are some things that I brought out that, you know, I've not always hit the mark just right. I want to, and I certainly don't want to teach something that's false, but it should be, on your part, something that you would search out. Right. You should search it out with anybody you watch on TV that's bringing the Word of God, somewhere where you go and you hear the Word of God. It's just good for us to know. Amen. Yeah, amen. Amen. Yeah. It is. It's important, because That's just another reason, when you talk about these folks here, another reason why they're described as being noble. They searched it out. They didn't just accept something as being just completely valid because the guy up there in that pulpit said so. You know, listen, you know, have you ever met someone like that? I mean, it's called being gullible, right? Yeah. Any of you ever been gullible? Nobody's owing to that one, right? Not here. No way. You know, like, it has to be true. I got it off the internet. Did you just make that one up, Pastor Garcia? No. We all know that one. Listen, we've all been duped at one point or another. But it's good to know that familiar saying, right? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, right? You know the end of that one. Listen, it's not good to live in the land of obliviousness. It's just not good to be oblivious. And listen, I can be oblivious. Listen, it reminds me of a blonde joke. If you're a blonde here, forgive me, right? Why did the blonde get so excited about finishing the jigsaw puzzle in 6 months? Because the box said it was for 2 to 4 years. Oblivious. We can all be oblivious, amen, at times. Sure. We don't want to be oblivious to the things of God. These Bereans had researched some things out. They were resourceful and definitely left no stone unturned. And that's a good thing. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 2 says this: "It's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter." That's just good for us to do when we're trying to unravel a problem. When we're trying to ferret it out, we shouldn't be sloppy with that. As parents, you know, one of the kids brings an accusation of the other sibling, right? And sometimes, you know, as parents, we're like at our wit's end. Moms, you're in the middle of cooking a meal. Go see your dad. Well, that's understandable. You're in the middle of something. But sometimes, you know, we just don't put all of our efforts into try to deciphering or figuring something out. And we've done that as well. I've done that. I've just taken the short way, the shortcut out. And that is, you know, well, you know, if you're the brother, the son comes with a accusation against, you know, his sister, you know, you just jump to a conclusion. You shouldn't have done that. Why did you do that? And, you know, and all of that. And then when you kind of finally figure out the whole story, you're like, oh, what a dummy I was. It wasn't even her fault. You know, sometimes the first one, you know, he that is first in his own cause, you know, seemeth just, as it says in the book of Proverbs. Sometimes the first person that comes to you with their story, sometimes they get on the good side of the, you know, of the equation. You got to be careful about that. So it's good to search out a matter, but in all things. Amen. I'm waiting on you. Can't leave me hanging up here like that. It's just good. The God wants us to be thorough with things that we do. God wants us, what does it say in Ecclesiastes 10:9 or 9:10? I can never get it right. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. God wants us to be people that do something wholeheartedly. He wants us to do our due diligence. Amen? Yeah, he wants us to be thorough people, because that's the way God is. He's not, you know, he doesn't do something half-heartedly or sloppy. That's not the Lord, and he doesn't want his people to be that way as well. So he wants us to do something and to do it thoroughly, to search out a matter. So they went to the scriptures and the Old Testament scriptures here themselves to see if all that was being said, that if it truly lined up. They weren't lazy. It says in Proverbs 26:15, "The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom, and it grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth." I mean, he's so lazy that he hides his hand in his bosom, and even if there's a Snickers bar in it, he just is too lazy to even bring it to his mouth. That's pretty slothful, right? It's terribly slothful. And sometimes we do that. So if the shoe fits, that's just it's good for us to put it on and say, "Lord, that's me sometimes. Please forgive me. I don't want to be that. I want to be thorough, and I want to be, you know, hard at it. Help me not to be lazy." But these folks were not suspicious people. They were thorough people, and they were eager to do the right thing. It's a good thing. They did things fully. They did things completely. Might we learn to be like the Berean believers? Even some of these Jews, I don't know how many of these Jews, you know, they listened and they at least listened with some reason. I don't know how many of those Jews in that synagogue got saved, but it says they were more noble. You know why? Because they sat and they listened. And I'm sure there were some Jews that got saved. I'm sure a number of them got saved that really thought that through. Maybe it took some a little down the road to really, as they thought about that, he makes sense. I'm listening. They didn't get all amped up with their emotions. Listen, they had learned how to search something out. Boy, there's so much of a takeaway here. So much that we can take from this as born-again believers, that we would have that same kind of mindset that these Bereans had in regard to the Word of God, in regard to when we hear it taught or preached, when we read it, may we go into it with the right mindset. And that's just a good prayer. Might we have a receptive heart a heart that I know this is the word of God, and I'm going to receive it as much as I, just like the Thessalonian believers did in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. They received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. It worked effectually. It did something great. It really blossomed in their lives. You know why? Because they knew it was the word of God, and they received it. And it'll do some great things. But if we toss it around and, oh, yeah, well, that's what some say. Or we might not even voice things, but just inside we just kind of waffle back and forth instead of just going, no, it's your word, Lord. I need to just receive it. It might be pointing out something that is not good in my life, because sometimes that's why we just don't receive it right away. Well, this is going on in my life. I don't think I want to quite receive that. I'm resisting it. Don't resist it. Now I'm speaking to me. Don't resist whatever it is that God speaks to your heart about. Just receive it. And then have a readiness of mind, too, this readiness of mind that you're ready, you know, you're ready for whatever it is that comes your way. That was something that was descriptive of these Bereans. And then finally, just searching it out, a researchful spirit, looking it over and making sure that these things are so, being thorough. Boy, that's the kind of believers that we ought to be with the Word of God. Now, I'll say this real again, briefly, and then we'll close. And that is, if you're here today without Jesus Christ, you don't know Him as your personal Savior, then we would love nothing more than to tell you about how Christ can save you. He can give you everlasting life. He loves you. He died on a cross for you and was buried and rose again. That was God who became a human being who did that for you. And there's no hope for you and I beside what He did, because all of our righteousness is like filthy rags. And if you think that you can get to heaven on your own by some good works, then you are terribly wrong. So the Bible's very, very clear. That would be something to search, and you'd see very clearly that we're saved by the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So if you'll believe that you're a sinner and that Christ died for you on the cross and was buried and rose again, the Bible says if you'll just come to Him by faith and receive Him, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Now, there's some other verses we would show you, but that's really the basic thing, is that you would understand that if you'll just come to Christ by faith and believe that He died for you, He can save you. Amen. He wants to save you. That's why He died. So with that, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads as we're going to be ready here to just have an invitation. And with heads bowed and you know, our eyes are closed, we're before the Lord in our mind, and we speak unto Him. Let's be praying and have a spirit and an attitude of prayer right now. Maybe God has spoken to your heart, and we can begin to play, Vicki, whenever you're ready to start playing. And as the piano begins to play, and Brother Jason will come and lead us in a hymn in just a couple moments, maybe God's spoken to your heart, believer, in regard to the Word of God. These Bereans, they're in that synagogue. These Jews, for the most part, they were more noble than even those in Thessalonica, because they had received the Word of God. They had a readiness of mind. They searched the Scriptures to see if those things were so. Maybe there's some things about the Word of God for us as believers that maybe we've short-sighted the Word of God. We've cut corners. We've compromised in some way. Maybe we're just not quite to the level we should be in regard to the Word of God. Well, if God's spoken to your heart, this is a good opportunity for you to respond to the Lord. I've always said you can certainly do that there in your seat. You can come up to the altar here. It's a good time to come to the altar as we have this invitation and just talk to the Lord about this particular matter, His Word. And maybe you're here today, and as I brought forth just a little bit ago, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You know about Jesus, but you don't know Him personally. There's never been a time when you've placed your faith and trust on what He did for you on that cross at Calvary. He wants to save you. And this is a great opportunity to step out in the aisle, come forward. We'll have somebody that can show you from God's word how you can be saved. Let's go before the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to have an invitation hymn in just a moment. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your blessings and your goodness to us. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for these examples that we read of in the Bible. Thank you for those here in Berea that heard the word of God, and they had a whole different mindset, and you called them noble as a result of it. Would you help us to be along that same mindset? Help us to receive your word as it is in truth, the word of God. Help us to be ready-minded. Lord, help us. Help us to do these things. Help us to have a researchful spirit about us, to search the scriptures, to compare scripture with scripture, to understand and know your word. Would you help us to go further along in our Christian walk? And if there's somebody here without Christ, Lord, I pray you'll work in their heart and bring them to the Savior. We thank you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.